The Apostle Paul had established a number of churches as he traveled through the Roman province of Galatia on his missionary endeavors. As he preached that gospel, that message of salvation in Jesus Christ alone, many responded to that truth. Many responded to the gospel of saving grace, believed on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, and so were brought into the fellowship of God's people. And churches were flourishing, churches were being established. But it appears shortly after the apostle left Galatia that a group of Judaizers came in from Jerusalem and they were teaching another message. They were teaching that salvation required obedience to the old Jewish laws, to the rites and the ceremonies and the traditions of the Mosaic law. And so they came in corrupting the truth that Paul had taught. According to them, justification was not by faith alone. They were coming in and they were saying, Paul was here and he taught this message of justification by faith alone, but you have to understand that was not quite right. That is not enough. It's not by faith alone. You must also do this, this, and this if you are to be saved and to fully mature as Christians. And they were seeking to apply the Mosaic rites and ceremonies such as circumcision, holy days, and so on. So they were preaching another gospel. According to them, justification was not by faith alone, but by faith plus faith and law keeping. And so Paul in this epistle addresses those errors. The Apostle Paul is concerned here because these people, these teachers, were coming among the Galatian church and they were adding to the pure gospel of Jesus Christ. And the additions that they were making really led to a perversion of the gospel and in effect resulted in the confusion of God's people and in turn, some were deserting the message that the Apostle Paul preached. And so Paul writes to establish them in the faith that he delivered to them. Paul right away speaks of his apostleship. These Judaizers, these false teachers, they had tried to discredit the apostle by saying that he was no apostle at all. They questioned his authority and they questioned his apostleship. And that is why the apostle begins so abruptly. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Now, briefly, he introduces himself. He states his apostleship. But then he moves quickly to the point. There is a brief word here of salutation, of greeting, but then he moves to the issue. And these Judaizers, they were seeking to undermine Paul's authority, and by undermining his authority, thereby undermining his message, saying it was less than authentic, it was less than true. And so Paul makes his calling very clear at the outset, that he was chosen as an apostle, called not by men, but by Jesus Christ, but by God. And his apostleship was on that basis. And you will notice here, very interestingly, that instead of his usual salutation that is found in many of the other epistles, he begins by defending his apostleship briefly and then gets down to business. He gets right to the point. It's a matter of urgency. And so he gets right to the main issue. He comes quickly to the point. He's saying, these Judaizers, they try to discredit me by saying I'm not a true apostle. But that is not the great controversy. That's not what I'm concerned about. I'm not here to commend myself. I'm not here to please men. I'm not here seeking the applause and the approval of men, as he says in verse 10. Do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. I don't come to you with great letters of commendation that these men are coming to you. He says, my sufficiency is in Christ and in His gospel. I really don't care what these teachers think of me. The point is that they are corrupting the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is the matter I want to deal with. I want to deal with the gospel of grace and how it is being perverted by these false teachers. And so this was no small matter. No small matter. This was no marginal teaching that had come upon him. That is why Paul is so quick to get to the point, to address the issue. This is a monumental issue, he says. No small matter. This is a big deal. And you need to consider this. And so, at the point in his epistle where, in other epistles, Paul would be speaking words of commendation to the church. He would be expressing his prayers for them. Here he gets right down to the point. And where he would normally commend them, here he expresses his consternation. And there is that word of strong criticism. There's no commendation, but strong criticism. And that is interesting. You think even of the Corinthian church. When Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, that church was full of corruption and sin. And yet he had time to commend them for certain things. He took time to salute them and to commend them. In the book of Philippians, if you were to look at the opening of that book, he was saying there were some who were preaching of envy, some who were preaching of strife. They were preaching Christ from wrong motives. And yet he rejoiced in that the gospel was still being preached. Oh, their motives for preaching might have been wrong. It was envy or strife. But the expression of the gospel was right. And his problem was with the expression of the gospel there and the motives why they were preaching the gospel. But the true gospel was still being preached, even though it was being preached by men who had wrong motives. The true gospel was still being preached. But in Galatians, when he comes to open and to speak to them, it's altogether different. In Galatians, the issue is not the expression of the gospel. The issue is the essence of the gospel. The true nature of the gospel. The fundamentals, if you like, that are crucial and fundamental to the Christian faith. And so he says, this is a big deal. I'm here to defend the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are those who have come among you who seek to trouble you, agitate you, lead you to confusion by perverting the gospel of Christ, which is not another. And so this is a serious matter. And that is why Paul, briefly introducing himself, gets right down to the point. The apostles' doctrine. He clearly states it in chapter 2, verse 16. A man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. The just shall live by faith. It was the battle in the apostles' day. It was the whole battle of the Protestant Reformation. And it is still a battle today. Many fall into that trap of faith plus my works in order to find acceptance with God. But the apostle is refuting the errors among the Galatians, and he says, the just shall live by faith. And he gets down to business. And so, to begin with, the apostle explicitly states what the gospel is. In verse 3 and 4, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. There you have the gospel stated explicitly. You ask, what is the gospel? This is the gospel. He says, I remind you of it, lest you have been deceived by your own heart, or you have been deceived by others. That God is gracious to undeserving sinners. To those who can never do enough. Those who can never work enough. Those who will never be religious enough. Those who will never be acceptable enough. God is gracious to sinful men. So much so that he sent his Son. According to the will of God the Father, he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. The gospel is this, that God in grace came down to rescue sinners, and that by faith in him and in him alone, plus nothing else, that is all that is required for the salvation. And so in a few words, he summed up the gospel. And what did he say? The gospel centers upon a person. It centers upon the person of Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us. Simply put, there is no salvation apart from the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is found in Jesus Christ. And so he's stating very explicitly here, there's only one foundation. There's only one way of deliverance. There's only one name that saves. That is the name of Jesus Christ, the God-man, who is God manifest in the flesh. He's not only perfect God, but he is perfect man. And therefore, he's able and fitted to join men to God as the mediator between God and man. Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us. And so, he says, God sees sinful men as in a state of bondage. You're in bondage to your sin. No matter how good you try to be, you cannot save yourself or deliver yourself. You need to be delivered from that state of bondage. You cannot free yourself by what you do. No matter how good you think you are, no matter how righteous your works may be, no matter how religious you may be in your service, God in Christ must deliver you from that bondage of corruption that is natural to men born into this sinful world. Only Christ can deliver you. Sin binds men. It enslaves men to sin. But Jesus Christ is the Savior. He frees men from sin. And he gave himself. And the apostle is saying, must this supreme sacrifice be supplemented? Christ, God manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of men, preached by men. He is the only way of salvation. And so this is the gospel of grace, he's saying. The gospel of grace stated explicitly. The good news that relates God's favor to sinful men who could not save themselves. And though it is through Jesus Christ, men are saved. Men are delivered from their sin and their bondage, setting them in the kingdom and setting them apart from the world. This is what God does. This is what God has done by giving Jesus Christ. It's not by law works. It's not by human effort. This is the good news, he says. This is the gospel.
And there are some of you here today that need to respond to this gospel. This is the gospel of grace to sinful men. Christ gave Himself for your sins. So He begins abruptly. He states the gospel explicitly. But He says also that this gospel is exclusive. You may think the Apostle Paul very severe here in his words. And the words he speaks are very different from the ideologies of men today. We're living in a day of toleration. And now every idea, every opinion is tolerated. But that wasn't the Apostle's way. There's only one gospel, he says. The gospel is exclusive. And though we, and you'll notice there, he includes himself in that. Though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that that ye have received, let him be accursed. Anathema. Cut off. Separated from God eternally. He's intolerant of any other message. There's no other gospel. There's only one. And I suppose that is the truth that really galls men today. That they despise. It's despised because it confronts their sin. The gospel is despised because it confines men to this one way. There's no other way. It restricts them to this truth. There's only one way to glory, and that is through Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. You can't come to God on your own terms. Not all roads lead to heaven. As many would say, there's no other gods, there's no other way, there's no other mantra. There's only one way. And that was the Apostle's boast in chapter 6 in the verse 14. He says, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." A glory in the cross of Jesus Christ. This is the proclamation that validates the person. It's not the person who validates the proclamation. Oh, these men, they might be coming to you with their fancy letters of commendation. They might be coming to you and saying, "Well, here's my latest book. Listen to these tapes." It's the proclamation that validates the person, not the person who validates the proclamation. And possibly the Apostle says, "Though we, even if I should preach any other gospel than that I have preached unto you, let him be accursed." Cut off. The gate is straight. The path is narrow that leads to eternal life. Acts 13, 38 and 39 says, "Though," or "through Jesus, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by Him all that believe are justified from all things." It's only by Christ there is forgiveness of sins. By Him men are justified, accepted with God. Nothing else will do. And that is what the Apostle is saying here. Nothing else will do. There's no imitation. No cheap admixture of men's devising. It's only the pure gospel of grace and faith alone in Jesus Christ alone that will save you. Any other gospel really is not a gospel. But it's in error and will inevitably lead to eternal destruction. If you're resting in anything else but Christ, you're on the broad road that leads to destruction. And this is the thing that astonishes the Apostle here. He says, "I marvel," verse 6, "that you are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another,
But there be some that trouble you, agitate you, and would pervert the gospel of Christ. He's amazed. He says that they were so soon removed. It was not so much that even these false teachers were removing them. They were removing themselves. And in the setting there, he's saying, I'm astonished, I'm flabbergasted that you, having known the simple gospel truth, would be so soon, quickly, removed and called unto another gospel. Another there, verse 6, is the word heteros, of a different kind, which is not another, allos, of the same kind. It's another of a different kind, which is not of the same kind as the real, the true, the genuine gospel. You've been removed. They're transferring your allegiance is the idea. They're turncoats. And he says, I can't believe it. You are turning from the gospel of truth. But he says there's only one gospel. There's no substitutes. A counterfeit gospel is not a gospel. To reject the true gospel is to perish. Or to say, well, it doesn't affect me. It's not a big deal. It's a grave error. To deny the gospel is to perish. To depend on anything or anyone else is to perish. And so another gospel of a different kind, which is not another of the same kind. A gospel of a completely different nature to the real, which has no right to be designated a gospel at all. I marvel that you would be so soon removed. And Paul viewed here the Galatian shift from the truth to another gospel as extraordinary. I marvel, I'm astonished. And this error that was being propounded in Paul's day, we would have to say, is still the error of today. Many are still teaching this same message. Many fall into this trap that I must work works righteousness in order to know salvation, in order to know acceptance with God, to be right with God. And many, I'm sure you've heard it said, will respond, well, I'm a good person. I do good works. I do this. I do that. I give to charity. I go to church. I'm a member. I've been baptized and so on. But that is not the gospel. Following an example is not the gospel. As much as you might even try to imitate the example of Jesus Christ, imitating an example does not save you. Because the bottom line is, you can never be perfectly like Christ. Maintaining good ethical principles will not save you. Maintaining and following the ethical principles that Christ taught will not save you. It may make you a better person, but it will not save you. It is trusting in Christ Himself. The gospel centers upon the person of Christ. That brings full salvation. He is the only mediator between God and men. And yet men try to mix law works, their own good works, with grace. That is legalism, in the true sense of the word, a belief that a man can know salvation, can find acceptance with God upon the basis of his own good works. But that will never do. Chapter 2, 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. He's saying, this is the gospel explicitly. Christ came. He died for our sins to deliver us from sin and to bring us into glory. That is the gospel. It's the only gospel. It's stated exclusively. There's no other gospel. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
I wonder how popular would the Apostle Paul be today as a conference speaker. But this is the message that he preached.
It flies in the face of popular opinion. There is today the acceptance of just about every invention, every opinion of men as being equally valid. That there are many roads. They are equally tolerated. Diverse ideas, diverse opinions in the world where men are reliant on their own feelings. What feels right for me, I will do that. And yet they are intolerant. They're tolerant of every other false notion, but intolerant of this restricted message of the Scriptures. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's only in Christ you will find acceptance. And faith in Christ will produce good works. It will lead to good works, but your good works will never save you. And the Apostle Paul here in Galatians 1, he sets himself as an example of the gospel's power, of what the gospel can accomplish and what Christ does for men. Here he was a persecutor. You have heard of my conversation in the Jews' religion. I was a religious person. I kept the traditions beyond measure, beyond any of mine equals. I did all that was required of me, and yet I was not saved. It wasn't until I met the Lord Jesus Christ on the Damascus Road that the Lord saved me. My eyes were open to the truth. I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and I was saved. And you have heard that he which persecuted the church in days gone by now preacheth the faith which was once delivered unto the saints, which once he destroyed. And that is his experience. He's speaking of the gospel's quickening power. Gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation to those who believe. And so he says, I'm astonished that you would be so quickly removed from the simple truth to a distortion of the truth, which is another gospel, not the real gospel. He's saying, you are in the process of turning away from the true gospel. That's the idea there in those words. So soon removed. Literally, you're in the process of turning from the gospel. There's some of you here need to respond to the message of the gospel. But there may be some of you here who are in the process of turning away from the truth of the gospel. To notions of your own devising. To your own way. Deserting God and deserting His gospel. But there is no gospel without Jesus Christ. Oh, you can say you know God all you like, but I will tell you, you cannot know God unless you know Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. The only way to know God the Father is as He is revealed in His Word and revealed in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. But Jesus Christ is God's last word to man. And He's the only way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Don't let anyone else tell you any different. Or any other gospel that is preached than this gospel of free saving grace is a perversion of the gospel of Christ. And that's what was happening here. These false teachers were coming along. They were perverting the gospel of Christ. That was the issue. Really perverting, that is turning upside down and inside out. Perverting the gospel. Mixing it with their own philosophies and opinions. And what was happening, it resulted in confusion. It was perversion of the gospel. It was leading people into confusion about the gospel. And in turn, there was desertion from the gospel. But he says the church is built on this truth. The just shall live by faith. The doctrine of justification and the battle for that truth is still the battle that the church faces today. And so the point is, he's saying here, you're not to follow, to believe, or to accommodate false teachers. There is no accommodating false teachers, poisonous polluters. Don't let them in. His words are severe. He's intolerant of any other message. And that is a stand that we must take today. Poisonous polluters must not be allowed in into your home, into your mind and into your heart, whether it be through the latest book or videos or tapes, or you get your theology from the internet. You're blown about with every wind of doctrine. You must be like the Bereans and come back to the Scripture. What saith the Scripture? There are those out there who tamper with the truth and handle the Word of God deceitfully, leading to confusion and leading many to destruction. He says, don't be blown about with every wind of doctrine. There's only one genuine gospel, and that is in Christ. You must know Him. For knowing Him is to know life, life eternal. So the apostle here is very clear, because he is concerned for them. The man who loves you the most will speak the most truth to you. And here he speaks the truth in love, that they would be turned from every false way and turn to the truth, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Stand fast. There is real liberty, he says. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free. Don't be bewitched by false teachers, he says in chapter 3, verse 1. But obey the truth. What is that truth? Jesus Christ, who hath been evidently set forth among you. That is the way. There's only one way. Jesus Christ is the way. And our sufficiency must be in Him. We must rest in Him, and not only for salvation, but for life and for eternity. The gospel of Jesus Christ and conversion is not like getting a flu shot, a one-off, but it's a continual, ongoing thing. You're resting in Christ continually, daily, walking with Him, serving Him, defending His name, defending His gospel, living unto God. For me to live, you see there in chapter 2, verse 20, for me to live is Christ. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. And so we come to consider the gospel of Christ. What is it? God is gracious and merciful to sinful men. And we must know Him, whom to know is life eternal. I trust you're resting by faith today in Christ alone.